40 greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's stand up for the U.S. Men's College Basketball Championship Tournament. We've reached the Sweet 16 stage of the Basketball Jamboree, one of the most popular sporting events here in the United States. Len Elmore was an All-American basketball player at the University of Maryland more than 40 years ago. He then turned professional, playing his first 2 years in the now defunct ABA, and then 8 more seasons in the NBA. And Len joins us now by telephone from New York City. Len, what do you think of the game between top-seeded Kansas and your alma mater, Maryland, later Thursday night?
Well, I will say this. I think Maryland matches up with them from a personnel standpoint pretty well. I think that the issue, obviously, is Maryland's experience in big games like this. And I think that the way Maryland has been playing over the last several weeks, I think that they need to take a different tact and utilize their big guys a little bit more inside as opposed to bringing them outside and using high screens and rolls, et cetera. I think from an interior defense standpoint, Kansas is exceptional, but you know, if you can attack them and create some foul situations, you may gain an advantage. I mean, this, let's face it, right now Kansas is number one team in the country and has been that way for a particular reason. That's because they're very good. So I think it's going to be a close game. On my bracket, as much as I hate to admit it, I have Kansas winning, but my heart's still pulling for my alma mater.
Len, is there another matchup that has caught your eye in terms of, you know, being a good matchup?
Well, you know, I think that Oregon-Duke will be a very entertaining matchup simply because both of them are high scoring teams, and you know, they love to push the ball up the floor. You know, they look to take quick shots. You know, I think Oregon more of a slashing type of team that will try and beat you off the bounce. They've got some prolific one-on-one scorers, and they have some depth where I think that's the weakness of Duke. They have outstanding scorers as well, but I just don't think they're deep enough to sustain, particularly any type of foul trouble they might get trying to guard the slashes of Oregon. You know, you have a couple of guys that are outstanding offensive players in Brandon Ingram and Grayson Allen, but, you know, they're offset by the guys from Oregon, particularly Brooks, who's a terrific player. So, you know, we'll see. That's the way it turns out.
The four top seeds all through to the Sweet 16. Did you have those four seeds in your going through in your bracket, Len? And overall, what do you think of the tournament so far?
Well, first of all, I think the tournament is everything we all expected. You know, to be as competitive among all of the teams, not just the power teams. But when you look at it, everyone except for Gonzaga is from a power conference, those teams that are remaining. The final four teams that I have on my bracket are still remaining. That's Kansas, Oklahoma, North Carolina, as well as Virginia. But nevertheless, it's one of those things where it's so hard to predict. You know, I'm really happy with the way it turned out. Maybe you wish teams like Northern Iowa didn't have the meltdown. You wish another team, you know, at the buzzer was wound up sticking around. You know, that was Stephen F. Austin to give it more mid-major intrigue. But nevertheless, I still believe that, you know, this tournament is everything everybody expected it to be.
Len, getting back to your Terps, they have a senior in their starting lineup, Jake Lehman. Maybe kind of unique now in college basketball that we don't see a lot of seniors on some of these teams anymore. The good players tend to move on. Is that a good development for college basketball?
I think that it's really important that seniors are around. You're talking about more experience. You're talking about oftentimes better skilled and not necessarily that absolute super player that you might see in some of the freshmen that we've seen come through college basketball. And I think it sets another standard where, you know, most of the guys who believe they have NBA talent recognize that you still will have value in the NBA draft if, in fact, you know, you stick around and refine your skills and get to be a senior. All too often, I think in the past, it was all about seniors, you know, not being around and people thinking that they'd stick around too long. And in that case, obviously their draft value would go down. But, I mean, I think that's changed now.
Getting back to your bracket, Len, who do you have as your national champion?
I have Kansas. You know, that's the team that I think right now has is best positioned to win it. But, you know, it really comes down to whether or not they can sustain. I've seen them go up and down, and they may have their third epic game against Oklahoma in the semifinals before they reach. But if they can survive that, I think they win a tough game over North Carolina.
Len Elmore, thank you for joining us on the Sunny Side of Sports.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Hey, g'day, mates. Remember me? This is the old sports emperor with a red-hot listening tip. That's right. Give a listen to my pal, the bright and lively Sunny Man on the Sunny Side of Sports, right here on the Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. Dr. Larry Zamoje here, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM. Keep getting sporty sunshine with Sunny Young. We all do at Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM, broadcasting out of the cities of Lagos, Abuja, Kaduna, and Onitsha in Nigeria, as well as the World Wide Web on www.brillafm.net. I tell you this. It's always a thrill, yes, a thrill, to remain on the sunny side on Brilla with Sunny. Keep listening, Africa.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
The Maryland-Kansas Sweet 16 matchup has Maryland's head coach Mark Turgeon guiding his team against his alma mater. The 51-year-old Turgeon played point guard for the Jayhawks of Kansas before beginning his college basketball coaching career. He talks about his team making it to the Sweet 16.
I got really great kids, and if you get to this point, you usually do. You have great kids that are good players, and we never stopped believing that we could be a good basketball team, and they practiced hard every day, and we've had fun. And we try to have fun, and so I'm really happy for these guys because this is a big step. You know, I know it's not the Final Four yet or national championship, but you know, to be a part of the Sweet 16 is a big step for us. For what we've went through late in the season, it's I'm happy for the players.
Mark Turgeon's coaching counterpart for Kansas is Bill Self, who took over the Jayhawks in 2003 and led them to the national title in 2008. Self says power forward Perry Ellis has been one of the team's key players in what's a balanced scoring attack.
Well, he had two good games. I don't know how many. I can't remember. What do you have, like 21, 22, something the first game. But, yeah, he had two nice games. We got four guys you know, that aren't guys that are going to consistently get 20 or whatever, and may not have the huge numbers, but we got four pretty consistent scorers, and if we get three or four of those, three out of the four, you know, scoring the ball consistently, I think we got a chance offensively, and of course that was the case today. But Perry's been great. He's been great all year for the most part.
That's Bill Self, head coach of the University of Kansas men's basketball team, a three-time national champion. Joining us now on the Sunny Side of Sports is VOA's Rick Narciss, who recently completed his senior season for Marymount University men's basketball team. Sporty greetings, Rick.
Sporty greetings, Sonny.
Rick, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Len Elmore earlier. What do you think of the March Madness championship tournament so far?
I think the tournament's been a lot of fun this year. There have been a lot of good upsets, like Middle Tennessee beating Michigan State, Stephen F. Austin beating West Virginia, and Northern Iowa on a half-court shot beating Texas.
Incredible shot.
Yeah, it was unreal. Unfortunately, it wasn't as unpredictable as I originally thought this year was going to be. Since all the number one seeds are still in, I was hoping at least one of them would get knocked off, but you know, it's still been a lot of fun.
Now, in terms of the 16 teams remaining in the competition, Rick, are there are few that have caught your eye in terms of the quality of play?
Oh, definitely got a few. Duke definitely caught my eye. They just have a great tradition, which Coach K, any team coached by him will never be considered an underdog. They have 12. He's been to 12 Final Fours.
Mm.
Their best player right now, Grayson Allen, is averaging 26 in the tournament. He's playing out of his mind. I think they play in one of the toughest conferences. Right now, the ACC has six teams currently in the tournament still, and they're 12-1. So it's just Duke's really good right now. Also, one of the ACC teams is Miami. Coach Jim Larrianaga.
He used to coach George Mason,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. He said that George Mason had... this Miami team has the same fire that George Mason had, and that 2006 George Mason team went all the way to the Final Four, so he's hoping to have that happen.
You mentioned Grayson Allen for Duke, Rick. Any other players that have really impressed you?
Definitely Buddy Hield. He's averaging 31 so far in the first two rounds.
And who's he play for?
He plays for Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, okay.
Yeah. He's one of the finalists for the Wooden Award. For those who don't know, that award's given to the most outstanding men's and women's college basketball player for the year. So he's playing really good basketball right now.
Now, you played 4 years for Marymount, and yet, what do you think at this level, Division I? Are you surprised when you see a senior out there on the court at this stage of the tournament?
Yeah, it is kind of crazy because usually guys who are as good as Buddy is usually leave by at least their junior year. So what happens is when you see a guy that good for so many years, you're like, how long has this guy been here? He must have been here like 8 years.
Rick, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports blog. The address is blogs.voanews.com/sunny. Once again, that address, blogs.voanews.com/sunny. And the latest blog post is titled, Who is Kai Kamara? And the guy who wrote that blog post right beside me in the studio this evening. Rick, who is Kai Kamara?
Kai Kamara is one of the brightest stars right now in the MLS. Last season, he tied for most goals scored, and he led in the postseason with four. Made it all the way to a championship, unfortunately lost in a close match to the Portland Timbers. But he's a great guy from what I got from our conversation. Loves his family. He's really big on family. He had his first kid last year.
Okay.
And he claims that it's helping him get more rest. I don't think a lot of people would agree with that. When you have your first kid, usually you're up all night.
Those 3 a.m. feedings?
Yeah. But he says he's going home more, spending more time with his family, and you know, more power to him.
And I know you you also touched on his humanitarian side also in that blog post.
Yeah, he's worked with the Schools for Salone Initiative, and they are working in war-torn areas of Sierra Leone to build schools and libraries. And the MLS recognized him last season, giving him the MLS Works Humanitarian of the Year Award, which is huge.
VOA's Rick Narciss, author of the latest Sunnyside of Sports blog post. Thanks for chatting with us, Rick.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
And turning to African football, qualifying matches resumed on Wednesday for the 2017 Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Gabon. As Marco Umo reports, the Taifa Stars of Tanzania scored a road victory.
Tanzania upstaged their hosts Chad by a solitary goal in N'Djamena in a 2017 Orange Africa Cup of Nations qualifier on Wednesday. Sao Tome and Principe pipped visitors from Libya 2-1 in Sao Tome as Guinea-Bissau edged Kenya 1-0 in Bissau. Visitors Benin outplayed South Sudan 2-1 in Juba, while hosts Zambia and the Republic of Congo played to a 1-1 stalemate in Ndola. Mark Ouma.
Hello, sports fans. This is Sonny Young of the Sunny Side of Sports.
Can't get enough of the Sunny Side of Sports? Well, we've solved that problem. We now have a half hour of sports talk and news Monday through Friday at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC GMT. So visit voanews.com for more details and enjoy the show.
Thanks, Joe. That's Joe DiCapua, the managing editor of the Voice of America's Africa News Tonight radio show. The Sunny Side of Sports remembers Dutch football great Johan Cruyff, who died of lung cancer Thursday at age 68. Three times Cruyff was named World Player of the Year in 1971, 1973, and 1974. He also managed Spanish power Barcelona for 8 years. Barca superstar Lionel Messi, the current and five-time World Player of the Year, was one of the first to pay tribute to Cruyff, writing on his Twitter account, "Rest in peace, Johan Cruyff. Your legacy will live on forever." The Barcelona team Twitter account wrote, "We will always love you, Johan. Rest in peace." Cruyff was a heavy smoker until undergoing heart surgery in 1991. He made his illness public last year. Another former Dutch star, Ruud Gullit, said, and I quote, "I'm perplexed. I thought he was getting better. Holland lost a face in the world. He put football on the map." Dutch football, that is. "Furthermore, he's been extremely important for my own career." Dutch football great Johan Cruyff, dead at the age of 68. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be with you.
Andrew, what's trending in the sports world on this Thursday?
Well, Johan Cruyff is actually the top trending topic around the world as those tributes continue to pour in. And I noticed two things in the tweets you read that I've seen on social media. One, you mentioned the word legacy, and that's one of the many words we're seeing to describe him, others including maestro, pioneer. But the one that keeps getting used again and again is legend, legendary. He really was a legend of the sport. And in fact, one person tweeted out and said, "He may be gone, but legends never really die, so he will live on forever."
I think in terms of the great names in world football, you hear Pele a lot. You hear Maradona a lot. You hear Messi, but Cruyff is right up there with the top in world football.
Absolutely, and that's the reason why he's top trending, because he has so many fans around the world. Even after he's gone now, people still remembering him. And another one of the tweets you read I thought was interesting, mentioning that, "Oh, I thought he was getting better." Well, he was actually tweeting up until Monday, and he was still active on his Twitter account. In fact, there were photos that some people were posting on social media as well, meeting up with him within the past couple weeks. and he seemed to be in good health. So I think this comes as a bit of a surprise. People knew he was sick, but maybe didn't think that he was that sick, or he took a turn for the worse rather quickly.
Now, I read that tweet from Messi, Andrew. Have any other top stars come out with any type of social media tributes?
A lot of stars are in a lot of the teams as well across the, you know, ELP, even in the U.S., Major League Soccer here in the U.S., noting his impact on the sport around the world. So tributes pouring in. And even, interestingly, outside of the sport world, we're seeing a lot of media organizations reporting on this as a top-breaking story just because of his impact and, like we said, his legendary status.
And locally, the Washington Post soccer writer Stephen Goff did a very nice tribute on Johan Cruyff. And he does have some Washington connections. Way back when, Andrew, he played for the Washington Diplomats. He made, I think he made 30 appearances for the Diplomats back in the early 80s. And he scored, I don't know how many goals he scored, but he did score a few goals for the Diplomats. So he does have a sort of an indirect connection to Washington, D.C.
Yeah, certainly connections to many different places. Of course, the Netherlands, but also Spain, as you mentioned as well, being in Barcelona. So truly a global figure in the sport.
And in terms of his legacy, I think one of his characteristics was his vision on the pitch. I'm seeing that a lot, what a creative player he was and some of the moves he made.
Oh, absolutely.
That's coming through on a lot of these tweets.
There's a GIF that someone posted on social media, and it looks, he's about to kick the ball, and he just reverses it and takes it around the defender, and it's just an amazing move, one of many that people are sharing. And that's another way that they're remembering his legacy as well, sharing little video clips or GIFs of some of his top plays.
Andrew, what else is trending in the sports world?
Well, we have Zero Dark 23.
Zero now, Dark 23.
This is not a new movie about like Zero Dark 30 or anything. This is LeBron James, of course, huge NBA star here in the U.S., is shutting down his social media to focus on the playoffs.
No,
and this sent
no.
social media into a tizzy, let me tell you, because people were tweeting and urgently saying, oh, my God, LeBron James has unfollowed the Cleveland Cavaliers on Twitter. What does this mean? Of course, because people are always watching who you're following, unfollowing when you're a famous figure. And LeBron coming out and saying, no, I'm not unfollowing the team. I have no ill will towards the team. In fact, I'm doing this because I want the team to win a championship and I want to help them do that. So it's in this day and age when we have sports stars that are all over social media who are cataloging their every moment on the court and off, it's interesting that he's saying, okay, this is a big enough of a drain of a kind of tax on my time and attention that I'm going to shut it down at least temporarily so I can focus on what's important.
Andrew, let me bring VOA's Rick Narciss back into the conversation here regarding LeBron. Rick, are you upset that LeBron shut down his social media accounts?
This isn't something new. He does this pretty much every year, especially down in Miami. He started doing it. So he's been off social media during the playoff times for a few years.
So it's more for focus purposes.
Yeah, he's just saying that, hey, I'm locked in to winning a championship. Nothing else matters. I don't need to talk to the media right now. I don't need to be on Twitter doing this and that. I'm focused here.
Okay, Andrew, what else is trending out there in the sports world?
Well, we're down to the Sweet 16 here in the U.S. for the NCAA men's basketball tournament. And with social media now, we're getting a behind-the-scenes look at a lot of these teams and what they're doing. It used to be we would just tune in and watch the games, maybe the post-game press conference, those kind of things. I'm seeing on Twitter today Wisconsin practicing at the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia preparing for their game. I saw an Instagram, because I follow Kansas and their basketball's account, their team getting on the charter plane and flying to play in their Sweet 16 game. So you're getting kind of, even after the game is over and the last round ended this past weekend, we're seeing all through this week the practices, the travel. We're really getting an inside look through social media as these teams prepare.
In terms of wins and losses, Andrew, do you find with athletes that they're maybe less prone to tweet or to post on Facebook after a loss than after a win?
Well, it depends. It's I noticed this a lot with tennis. You know, Serena Williams lost in the finals of the Indian Wells BNP Paribas tournament and was on Instagram not too long afterwards saying, you know, it wasn't a great, you know, result, but I'm going to try harder next time. Same with Milos Raonic, lost in the men's final there and said, thank you all for supporting me. It's been a great week. I plan to get back. So it really depends on the athlete. Sometimes I think, just like in real life, They want to just be left alone. They want to cope with the loss. Sometimes they just want to move on from it and use social media to do that.
Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
And thank you, Rick Narciss, for joining us in the studio. And that wraps up the March 24th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to VOA producer Bill Werkinger, VOA engineer Cornelius Tenner, and thank you for tuning in. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
U.S. flags have been lowered to half-staff throughout the United States, its embassies and bases, as a sign of respect for the victims of terror attacks that killed at least 30 and injured more than 200 in Brussels. The thoughts and prayers of the American people are with the people of Belgium, said U.S. President Barack Obama.
We stand in solidarity with them in condemning these outrageous attacks against innocent people. We will do whatever is necessary to support our friend and ally Belgium in bringing to justice those who are responsible.
The tragedy occurred during the morning rush hour Tuesday when Brussels was rocked by three blasts, two at the Zaventem airport and one at the Malbik train station. ISIS has claimed responsibility for the coordinated attacks. The notion that any political agenda would justify the killing of innocent people like this is something that is beyond the pale, President Obama said in an interview with the press. We are going to continue with the over 60 nations that are pounding ISIL and are going to go after them. Leaders from Europe and the broader international community have responded to the attacks with similar messages of solidarity and condemnation. This is yet another reminder that the world must unite, said President Obama.
We must be together, regardless of nationality, or race, or faith, in fighting against the scourge of terrorism. We can and we will defeat those who threaten the safety and security of people all around the world.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at www.voanews.com/editorials.
Today on Health Chat, host Lenore Modou talks about tuberculosis. Is it making a comeback? What are the current treatments available? For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. For listeners to call during the show, our telephone number is 202-619-3111. Health Chat this Tuesday at 1730 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
VOA News.
VOA. When news breaks, VOA News is there. Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.